But first, stem cells are the starting point for all of the cells in the human body, and scientists can use them to replace injured tissues, or if they want to study how a certain disease affects a different part of the body, they can model it in a dish using stem cells. But it can take a really long time, in fact up to 20 weeks, to turn a stem cell into a mature tissue. Well, now scientists at the University of Cambridge and the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute have reduced that to just a matter of days, thanks to a new technique that can make millions of identical cells at once. To find out how, Cambridge University's Daniel Ortman is with us. Hello, Daniel.
Hi.
So first of all, tell us, how did you do this?
So essentially, we focus on a process called reprogramming cells. So essentially, it's turning one cell type directly into another. So rather than going down this fairly lengthy developmental process, we just convert them directly from, let's say, a skin cell, or in our case, a stem cell.
So in the old days, we used to sort of take, a skin cell and turn it back into a stem cell, and then turn the stem cell back into what we wanted to turn it into.
Yeah.
You're saying, well, we're going to short-circuit that equation and go from A to B directly rather than via C.
Yeah, exactly. So reprogramming processes are fairly direct because you don't have to go through this cascades of normal development as it happens in the body.
Why didn't scientists do that in the first place then? Why did they go all the way back to stem cells and then turn the stem cells into what they wanted? Why didn't they do what you've now done?
I mean, people have done similar things before. It's just that what we've done in our study is rather than putting those genes that control the whole process, putting those randomly into the cell, what we did, we integrated those this genetic information in specific locations into the genome. They're called safe harbors. And so in this way, we can actually ensure that all the cells have the same information, and we can also rapidly turn it on and then switch this program that's running into the cells.
Right, so you embed the reprogramming genetic information into the cell at the get-go.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can control what's turned on where and when. So that cell passes all of that genetic information into its offspring. So you get a whole clutch of cells that are the same. They'll behave the same way,
exactly.
Follow the same instructions.
Yeah, so essentially we are putting in the information, and then it just sits there until we decide to give it a chemical trigger to then activate those genes. And then the cells rapidly actually reprogram, and then within, as you said, five or six days, they turn into an entirely different cell type.
And so when you say there's a safe harbor, so you put the instructions, you know what the genetic instructions are that turn a skin cell into, let's say, a heart cell or something. So you'd put those genes into a specific part of the genome where you know they're not going to do any damage to the cell putting them in there.
Yeah, exactly. So there are some defined sites where people studied what are those locations doing. And also, at the same time, those locations are also protected from events like silencing. So usually when you put something somewhere in the genome, it's very likely that the cell kind of shuts it down. So it doesn't want this kind of strange information to be there and to be read. So it has actually mechanisms of shutting it off. Whereas when you put it in the genomic safe harbors, it's much less likely that that happens.
How do we know these cells are safe that you make with this, if you wanted to use them therapeutically? Because at the end of the day, you know, having enough stem cells or mature tissue cells that can do something has always been a problem.
Yeah.
How do you know they're safe?
So you're talking about cell therapies now. Mm. So there's various ways to test whether the cells are actually safe. I mean, obviously, we can make them in the lab first and then have them there and do all sorts of tests on proliferation and genomic stability to really ensure that the cells would be safe then to put into a patient. But for the more immediate applications, what we can do is we produce all sorts of cell types that are hard to come by from humans, so like brain cells, heart cells, all those type of cells, to actually make them in a controlled way and in large quantities so that we can use them for drug discovery or screening processes within the pharmaceutical industry, for example.
Now, when you say you turn a cell into, say, a muscle cell, how do you know it really is a muscle cell? Because it might look like one, but biochemically, have you checked to see that, okay, that's a muscle cell? And also epigenetically, have you looked at the genes which are being turned on and off? Is that, to all intents and purposes, now a muscle cell that you've made?
Yeah, exactly. So what we do is, after we turn on those genes, we actually check other genes that are unrelated to the ones we activated, and whether they come up or not. So that gives us an idea of, is this program of being a muscle cell actually activated in those cells.
It's got the sort of genetic fingerprint of a muscle, so you can be confident that's what you've got.
Yeah, and then you can also obviously do epigenetic tests, but what we also did was functional tests. So we actually gave them the same kind of compounds that make muscle cells contract, for example, in the body. And yeah, if we add those to the dish, then the cells are contracting. So essentially, functionally also, they are exactly what we would expect them to be.
Daniel Ortman there, and his study came out in Stem Cell Reports.